This is WKSU News. I'm Kabir Bhatia. The news of how coronavirus is affecting Northeast Ohio has been changing daily. 1 week ago, only a few dozen tests had been conducted in the state, and schools, bars, restaurants, and sporting events were all operating as usual. As of this past weekend, all of that has changed. I'm going to answer your questions about coronavirus with our web editor, WKSU's Sarah Taylor.
Toilet paper has been flying off of store shelves, and people are wondering why that, of all things. Listener Nancy Yara says she could understand hand sanitizer, but toilet paper? Some other people are wondering why people want to hoard water.
This actually seems less a health or economic question than a psychological question. So I spoke with Toni Lynn Bisconti. She's a psychology professor at the University of Akron. This is what she told me.
I really think it's a simple case of just pure panic. When fear increases, the way that we purchase things and the way that we get selfish also increases. And I also think what happens is the first time someone does it, they put it on social media, and then it puts the idea in everyone else's head. And I'll say this too, our phones that are permanently attached to us, every time like a text comes through or a push notification, our cortisol level goes up. So that fight or flight response goes up. So what else you're going to see is a lot of people are going to get sick right now just from their own adrenaline. Once people start getting sick, people are going to panic even more. So it's this vicious cycle.
We've received a lot of questions as well about testing. How, where, and when to get tested.
Over the weekend, Cleveland Clinic and University Hospital started drive-through testing, but you must have a doctor's order. They've only got capacity for about 500 tests a day right now, and they want you to go online first and have a virtual visit so you don't just show up at the ER or Minute Clinic or even where they're doing the tests at the main campus on the east side of Cleveland. The other big hospital in Cleveland, MetroHealth, is not part of the drive-through testing, but they want people to call their hotline, which we have on our website, to find out if they should proceed and to where. Most other hospital systems are saying the same thing. They either want you to call your physician or the State Department of Health, which has a coronavirus hotline.
Listener Beverly Timmons wondered exactly what symptoms should she be experiencing before she contacts a health provider for a test.
Our reporter Jeff St. Clair spoke with Summa Health's Dr. Thomas File a few days ago. He's also the president of the Infectious Disease Society of America. He said the classic symptoms are fever, cough, shortness of breath, but there are also cases where symptoms don't appear or the symptoms can mimic just a respiratory infection or the common cold. So that's actually why they're asking you to call first or do the virtual visit, and they're trying to get to patients who are high risk first. He says there's simply not enough tests right now, and it's actually going to take several weeks for Summa to develop their test. Up at the Cleveland Clinic, the test they're using already gets results in about 24 hours.
Okay, we had another question from Amy Freed Humbert, who wondered, what has made this an alarming pandemic as compared with something like the common flu or other viruses that cause more deaths annually?
I'm actually going to let the Cleveland Clinic's Chief of Medical Operations, Dr. Robert Wiley, I'm going to let him answer that.
People should think about it just like they think about influenza. So influenza so far this year has affected about 30, 32 million Americans, and has caused at least 18,000 deaths. We're dealing with numbers of 2,200 and about approaching 50 deaths in the United States. So that gives you a comparison. The difference is that there's no immunity and there's no vaccine to the coronavirus. And we have immunization, and a lot of us have immunity to influenza.
So listener Susan Calvo wondered what the guidelines are on quarantine once one tests positive for coronavirus or for isolation if a family member shows symptoms.
Well, after you've gotten the tests and everything, you know, if they admit you and you're in the hospital, pretty much the only thing that we know of is that you can have your phone and whatnot, personal item, but they're going to limit access to you from your family members. And of course, the staff there is going to have to be in full pandemic regalia like you'd see in the movies, face masks, gloves, all of that. And here's something else Dr. Wiley told me.
You can still have some muscle aches and pains and cough and fever, and you can even have some lung infection and still not need to be hospitalized. So that's 80% of it. About 20% of the people really need to be seen by a medical care provider. About a third of that group is going to end up being hospitalized, 6 or 7%, at least that's what we think now. And about a third of the ones that are hospitalized, so 2 or 3% of the total, are going to need to be in an intensive care unit.
Listener Bob White wondered, when you get the virus, how long will the symptoms last?
Well, Dr. Wiley told me that could be about 2 weeks, but then once you're diagnosed or admitted, depending on a lot of factors, age, your general health, many more weeks was the phrase that he used.
Okay, and we had a question from listener Shane Wynn who said, can you get it twice?
Well, we're not sure. Most infections, you get at least a temporary immunity. But Dr. Wiley, again, he wasn't sure how long that immunity will last. And a lot of this, as he was talking to me, is just a case of we just don't know.
Right. This is an all-new experience that we're having here. We are basing a lot of the information we are predicting, or the experts are, on histories of pandemics like this. But there is a lot of uncertainty with all of this, especially for people, too, who have travel plans.
We have been getting a lot of questions about travel plans. Should you go? What should you do? Whether it's international or domestic, you're going to be impacted. Jim Garrity with AAA, the best advice he has is to check in with your travel agent or a travel agent.
They're getting up-to-date information in their inbox on a continuous basis. So having somebody there to consult you through moments like this, that can really, really come in handy. Anecdotally, I was talking to somebody who had a ticket of his to Ireland credited through the end of the year. But it's hard to give a blanket answer because there's so many different companies who are flying. There's so many different locations. There's different stipulations depending on where you're going. You know, there's a big difference between if you're flying to Akron, Ohio, or if you're flying to California even, let alone if you're flying to somewhere like Ireland or Italy.
And will there be more restrictions on domestic travel?
Possibly. President Trump hinted that he might do that. That was reported over the weekend by CNN and several sources.
There have been some questions as well about the president's actions regarding funding for disease response like this for the CDC and for the National Security Council's Global Health Security Unit.
Well, we reached out to both of Ohio senators on this since they're so heavily involved in the budgeting process. And Republican Rob Portman sent back a short statement saying that CDC funding had increased from $12 billion in fiscal year 2018 to $12.1 billion in fiscal year 2019 to $12.7 billion this fiscal year. But Democrat Sherrod Brown was very vocal about this. He sent us, and then he tweeted out, a letter he wrote almost 2 years ago to the president asking why he was disbanding the National Security Council office in charge of preparing for potential outbreaks, the Global Health Security Unit you mentioned. And Brown was saying in the letter that it was a bad idea, and we have a copy of that letter on our website. And then on Friday at a press conference, PBS NewsHour's Yamiche Alcindor asked the president about this directly, and here's that exchange.
You said that you don't take responsibility, but you did disband the White House pandemic office, and the officials that were working in that office left this administration abruptly. So what responsibility do you take to that? And the officials that worked in that office said that the White House lost valuable time because that office wasn't disbanded. What do you make of that?
Well, I just think it's a nasty question, because what we've done is, and Tony has said numerous times that we've saved thousands of lives because of the quick closing. And when you say me, I didn't do it. We have a group of people. I could ask perhaps my administration, but I could perhaps ask Tony about that, because I don't know anything about it. I mean, you say we did that. I don't know anything about it.
You don't know about the reorganization that happened at the National Security Council.
It's the administration. Council. Perhaps they do that. You know, people let people go. You used to be with a different newspaper than you are now. You know, things like that happen.
But this was an organization.
We're doing a great job.
We'll keep trying to answer your questions. You can keep asking them at wksu.org/coronavirus. I'm Sarah Taylor.
And I'm Kabir Bhatia, 89.7 WKSU.